dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You can't, you know, there's no, the referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact are kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree.
The American taxpayers, my constituents that are having a hard time afford their groceries, pay for a car, buy a new home, spend $1.6 quadrillion to fix a problem that A, doesn't exist, and as a matter of fact, you might be exacerbating because it's unknown. It is unknown at this time the low level that of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that might actually destroy life, because plant life all depends. As you know, Secretary, plant life all depends on CO2. And when we kill it, then we're done, too. I yield the balance.
Congressman, let me just say that I don't agree with what you're saying out there for any number of reasons. I don't have time to go into all of them now, but I'll just tell you point blank that the difference between the periods you're looking at in terms of heat, et cetera, and human input is night and day, number one. Number two, why do you think 195 countries in the world, their prime ministers, their presidents...
Because they're grifting they're, like you are, sir.
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're
really
questioning
dangerous.
Really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
See, while always ensuring and defending free speech, we must make it clear that it cannot be okay to bully and attack people online. Governments, and especially big technology companies, need to safeguard people's data and privacy and address online harassment and violence to ensure trust in technology.
The Socialist Democratic Party just can't help prodding the sleeping giant. The left has made it abundantly clear that they want our president not just impeached, but beheaded. They have pushed that narrative repeatedly. But first, they must decapitate InfoWars so that the heads of conservatives will roll.
Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying. He launched similar attacks against the families whose 6- and 7-year-old kids were slaughtered at Sandy Hook.
And these people are all lawyers. They're very smart. They've defamed me in fake lawsuits they filed, funded by the Democratic Party, knowing they're protected filing false statements under defamation in lawsuits. And then they do it as members of Congress, protected with immunity for false statements.
And the Slate article references a study by Jonathan Albright, director of the Tao Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia, who found 9,000 videos on YouTube with titles that are, and I quote, a mixture of shocking, vile, and promotional themes that include rape game jokes, shock reality, social experiments, celebrity pedophilia, false flag rants, and terror-related conspiracy theories dating back to the Oklahoma City attacks in 1995.
It mixed terror-related conspiracies in with false flags when Gulf of Tonkin and all these other things are declassified to be staged. Anybody has a right to question that when it's a history of it. Doesn't mean we always think it's fake. We have to look at it.
Every one of your rights has been compromised by a totalitarian state grown to adulthood under your very nose. But the First Amendment is still holding its ground under a hail of globalist arrows, but it can't withstand the assault forever. We are reaching the critical moment. Stand up, America, and reclaim your rights. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.com.
Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of props, the Alex Jones store. I got my Panther 1984 1776 wristband on. I buy the products because I like the products and I like the merch. And here's the thing. I buy the multiple wristbands and the stickers to give them out. And I've been looking for InfoWars stickers for a while because the main store site didn't have them. So finding out that there's stickers, you know, for 1776, et cetera, on this site means I can finally have stickers mysteriously appear in my neighborhood again. I'm not going to say that the main thoroughfare had, along the bus route, stickers from every bus at the start of the route to the end of the route, but let's just say somebody may have passed some of those stickers out and had them put up until the bus line got smart to it, you know?
That's awesome, Sean.
There's not too many platforms like this that have this reach and have this depth of knowledge, and I give you guys props. We're fighting through it all, and I'm looking at some red and black InfoWars t-shirts with the old style print. It's probably my next purchase, so keep it going, guys.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Great to be joined here by Ezra Levant from RebelNews.com. And we were just talking in the break here preparing. It's almost like Rebel News is on an island up there in Canada, just fighting for free speech, fighting for truth in media. And so we will definitely talk about that. But I couldn't help, when I was watching you on the Alex Jones show earlier and then seeing the reporting you did in Brazil, I couldn't help but be fascinated by that. And for people that haven't been to Brazil or kind of studied the geopolitics, Brazil kind of gets overlooked in the geopolitical conversation. They kind of get overlooked as what I think should be our number one ally in the United States of America, the resources, the people. And you can just walk around at a rally and people speak English. Portuguese is their native tongue. People speak English down there. So, I mean, it's just... it's a sad thing to see what's going on. So just kind of talk about your experience. It was your first time there. Talk about your experience in Brazil, the events that you were at, and just what it was like to hear from the people.
Sure. I had never been to Brazil before, but I was watching out of the corner of my eye the fight between Elon Musk of Twitter, X, and the president down there, the authoritarian socialist president named Lula. But even more so, Lula...
who spent time in prison for political corruption, by the way.
That's right. And he's back in now, having beat Jair Bolsonaro, who is more Trump-like. There's some questions about the fairness of that election. But Lula has a right-hand man named Alexandre de Moraes, who's a hunter-killer judge. He dresses absurdly.
It's crazy. So does the Speaker of your Parliament kind of dresses a little crazy, too. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's a very similar thing. They got the cape going on, but he owns it. He, like, flaps the cape around. Oh, I'm surprised he doesn't pull out a wand and, like, do a curse next.
You know, I was at this huge protest, and I saw that the thing about Elon Musk is he acts like he's a pundit or a talk show host. Like, he just says what's on his mind, even if it's rude, even if it's suggestive, he doesn't care. That's one of my favorite things about him, is he doesn't take himself too seriously. So the sparring with de Moraes, this judge, because what happened just super quick is this judge would order certain people to be banned from Twitter. A judge? What's in your business? And the thing is, he ordered it done, but he ordered it to be done in secret. So these political opponents or journalists of Lula would be silenced, and Twitter was told, you're not allowed to explain anything. You're not allowed to say we ordered you. That's contrary to Brazilian law, according to Twitter. So you saw this battle, and Elon Musk just getting in there. And so they banned, because Elon Musk refused to comply, de Moraes banned the entire app from the entire country. 20 million users were banned.
By the way, not a peep from the American media about this. I don't even know if I heard anything from a single congressman or woman about this.
And that's not it. That's not all. De Moraes and Lula were so angry at Twitter and Elon Musk, X, that they took it out on the other Elon Musk company, Starlink, the internet that specializes in rural places because it's satellite internet. So they started seizing Starlink assets, totally different company.
Elon Musk, total authoritarianism.
And where's the U.S. trade representatives standing up to that? I mentioned that to Alex today.
They're making sure Soros can buy 200 radio stations.
So I heard there was going to be a big free speech rally. And look, I go to rallies. I get a kick out of it. I know you do too. But a rally for an ideal for freedom of speech, that's, I thought, really? I wanted to check it out with myself. And I wanted to see if real life was like Twitter. Because on Twitter, Elon Musk and this Mr. Moraes, it was fun theater. But what's it like with real people? Did real people, were they engaged? Went down there, flew 10 hours straight from Toronto down to Sao Paulo, huge city, 20 million souls. There were 200,000 people at least in that protest. I had never been in the middle of a 200,000 person protest in my life. It was amazing. It had a festival feeling. There were even people dressed up as that shaved head judge, De Moraes, like they were impersonated.
He's Voldemort.
Oh, it was incredible. And people really were, I asked them, why are you here? And the number one answer every time was freedom. It was real. I thought, gee, I've gone halfway across the world.
Did you bring a translator with you?
No, but we found someone pretty quickly in the crowd who sort of appointed himself our interpreter because he wanted us to connect better with people. And we had some translation back home. So we managed to, it was a little tougher than, it sounds like you had some ease. I'd say
I went to Rio. I spent most of my time in Rio. I spent a little time in Sao Paulo and Curitiba. Rio is the tourist area,
right.
So they're more inclined to learn English there because more people are coming in and touring there. But, I mean, if you can't find somebody that speaks English, you'll find somebody that says, hey, I'll help you. I'll translate for you.
That's what happened to us. And I'm really glad I was there because I didn't see any other English-speaking media cover this. I got to tell you, 200,000 people.
Media blackout here. If it wasn't for your coverage, I wouldn't have heard of it.
I was really glad to be there. There was one American named Schellenberger. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Schellenberger. Yeah,
he's a good egg, and I think he's affiliated with Twitter in some way.
He definitely was working with Musk to expose some of the Twitter files.
Yeah, so I saw him there, but I don't think I saw another American. And I didn't, even though you got CNN down there, in fact, CNN's headquarters was like two blocks away from the epicenter of this massive protest. I didn't see anything on CNN. I feel like there was a news blackout on this.
100%.
And I talked to people there. I had to use a VPN. I'd never used a VPN on my cell phone before. Maybe I should, but I never did. Because that story gets crazier. I mentioned how this judge, De Moraes, was banning individual people. And when Elon Musk wouldn't comply, he just banned every single Brazilian. And people started using VPNs to get around the block. But then they brought in a huge fine of about $10,000 bucks American if you're caught using a VPN. I was a little nervous because I was...
You don't have to incriminate yourself here.
Well, I announced it when I was down there once I was through.
But that's a don't tread on me... did I see a don't tread on me flag in there?
You know what? There were some great flags, and I don't know whose footage this is, but it was amazing. It was... Oh, this is great footage. This is someone who was standing...
Yeah, that first shot zoomed in on the other side. I could have sworn I saw a don't tread on me flag.
There was some fun ones, some homemade ones, a lot of Elon Musk. So this went a mile in each direction. Whoever filmed this was standing on the stage.
Wow.
I really enjoyed looking at those flags. And I saw the Odd American flag in there. I saw a lot of Elon Musk signs. And that sort of surprised me. And I talked to some folks. I played the clip when I was on Alex's show. Everyone was sort of saying, Elon Musk, please help us. They realize they need a heavyweight like that. Now, we've been praising the guy, and I think Elon Musk deserves a lot of praise. I think he's the number one global force for free speech right now. My God, a lot rests on that man's shoulders.
He can only do so much. Well, and when you talk about a media blackout, of course there's a media blackout. Where am I going to find this footage? I'm going to find it on X, which is banned in Brazil. Where am I going to find this footage? I'm going to find it on Rebel News. I'm going to find it on InfoWars, which gets mass censorship. The corporate news media pretty much all works together to either highlight or cover what they want or not cover, blackout what they want. So absolutely media blackout on this. And the fact that you can't even get it on X from Brazil, like these people have to break the law for you to see that.
Yeah, and so some people are breaking the law, but you know what? It's not the easiest, simplest thing in the world.
Of course, you know what, though? They're not breaking the law. The government is breaking the law, not letting them share it.
Right. But between the people being afraid of that, and it's a couple extra hurdles, and okay, I got to download a VPN, and how do I do that? For some people, it's a barrier. So it's going from 20 million active users. I'm guessing there's less than a million now.
Yeah.
So, and by the way... they're obviously having the same orders for Facebook, Instagram, and other apps. Just those companies are complying. You know, I look around the world, who are the free speech champions? I think Elon Musk definitely head and shoulders number one. You know who I think is making a bit of a difference too? J.K. Rowling. Because, and she's focused mainly on one issue of transgender extremism, because she's come out against men in women's spaces, which is what a lot of transgenderism is. And she's from the UK, and the UK has really been tilting towards censorship. Scotland, Ireland, UK, they've all been introducing what they call the Online Harms Act.
Yeah, they'll show up with police officers at your door.
And so she has basically said, anyone says anything they're charged with about transgenderism, I'll restate it. Come and get me. Now that, if you're a billionaire with a huge public presence.
Yeah, high profile.
I mean, you're daring the cop. And could you imagine being the cop that goes to her mansion and tries to arrest her?
Or does?
Yeah.
Perp walks her down into a car.
And I think she's very brave in her own way. I think Elon Musk is probably the bravest. He's got a lot of pressure points. He's got a lot to lose. I'm worried that they'll try and Donald Trump him, try and Alex Jones him. By that, I mean lawfare the guy to death.
Well, they already are.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, in many ways, they already are.
Their BS complaints about, you know, his rocket paperwork.
Yeah, he's got like ethics complaints, FCC, FEC. He's got all these different groups up his ass.
You know, I don't know if you ever read Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged. I read that when I was...
Oh, it's only like, what, 20,000 pages?
Yeah, it's pretty long. But you know what? She talked about this protean figure, you know, that carries the burden of the world on his shoulders and is an inventor and an industrialist and an entrepreneur. She was talking about Elon Musk, a man who by sheer will forces things to get done when everyone says you can't. And he's such a wealth creator. I know I'm sounding like I'm gaga for him, but he is... If he wasn't there... Alex Jones would still be deplatformed. Tucker Carlson would have a fraction of his platform.
Yeah.
How many people did Elon Musk bring back from the dead, Twitter
wise? I would have been completely wiped out. In fact, it might even been, maybe it was this week or last week, officially I'd been back on X for a year. I've been able to gain almost 250,000 followers. And so I wouldn't have any of that. I wouldn't be able to have any of this reach. There's a lot of videos from InfoWars or myself that were just kind of reposting there. People are like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this. So, I mean, they do the censorship because it works. It is effective. It does work. And it makes groups like Rebel News or InfoWars have to fight that much harder to get our coverage out there, to get our videos out there, to get these reports. And it's so good that you're here after your trip to Brazil, because people would have never seen that. They wouldn't have known. The people in Brazil are crying for freedom.
Yeah.
They're crying. They're begging.
And the thing is, they've passed a law down there that Bolsonaro can't run again. I mean, again, this is some ruling. They said,
like what they're trying to do to Trump.
It's so similar.
And by the way, they tried to kill Bolsonaro too, stabbed him in the streets.
And he lost half his blood. It was terrifying. That's the left for you. Absolutely without compunction. I hate to say it, they know assassination works. It has changed the course of history time and again. And they are trying to do that to Trump. And it scares me even as a foreigner. I'm a Canadian. I don't have literal skin in the game because I'm not part of the election. But let me tell you, everyone around the world is looking at America for this election.
Yeah.
You don't think? I mean, look at Zelensky. He met with Trump because he knows what happens in America on November 5th will affect China, Russia, Ukraine, the entire Middle East. Is there a country in the world that won't be affected by Trump?
I mean, Netanyahu basically gave a middle finger to Biden-Harris and begged to go meet with Trump.
I don't think Netanyahu would have done what he's done the last week. Were he not thinking, you know what, to heck with it, I'm betting all on Trump. I don't think he would have done this if he didn't think a prospect of Trump winning.
Well, Trump, in a way, did say, hey, look, if you're going to do it fast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've seen what has followed. But, you know, you think about, again, you go down to Brazil, you cover this. It's a total media blackout. It's this uphill battle to get this information. And you talk about, hey, they use censorship. Hey, they use lawfare. Hey, they use assassination. All of this is history repeating itself. I don't claim to be some big history buff. I'm still kind of learning as I go, just because I came up in a sports matrix, whatever. That was my thing. So I'm kind of still reading history, learning history from people that are more knowledgeable. But it all points to the same thing. History repeats itself. The left's tactics have never changed. The political left tactics, there's different brands and there's different little channels and there's different little means and different little mechanisms, but it's all the same. The political left believes bigger government, government control, the individual cannot be in control. The political right is smaller government, self-government, the individual determines its own fate. I mean, that is, if you can put these two things in a box, in a nutshell, that's it. One believes in government, one believes in self-government. And the left always has to do the same thing when they, because most people want freedom. Most people want to choose for themselves. So what does the left do? First, they do the censorship. Then they do the lawfare. Then they try to kill you. This is just history repeating itself.
I'm not sure how closely you follow Dr. James Lindsay or Xi Van Fleet. Lindsay has convinced me to use the word communist. I never really did because I thought it sounded over the top, or I thought, well, are they really a communist? What a lot of the tactic, like even the language, Kamala Harris, to what can be unburdened by the past, as in zero out history, start from year one, forget the four olds. That is communist phraseology. And, you know, it's modern communism, and I think we have to call it out. They certainly call us fascists. I think that's baseless. Let me say one more thing before I forget about it on the Twitter side. I think one of the greatest innovations is community notes. And why would I focus on that? Because when else could you ever force a retraction or force a correction on a regime media outlet? You couldn't. Even, especially if they knew they were wrong, what could you do? Pound sand. You could write a letter to the editor that you would ignore it. But now in this public forum, you can tag an editor's note effectively on the bottom of a regime media lie. And I think community notes are the best part of Twitter. And it's actually caused some regime media to occasionally delete some posts and correct them. And that offends the communist notion of controlling the media. I mean, if you look at Trotsky, one of his famous speeches was, we need a newspaper. What was the first move of communist revolutionaries? Take command of the radio station, or then the TV station. The communists know the importance of controlling communication, and surely we should know it, therefore, and know the importance of citizen journalism. That's why the war against InfoWars is much more than just a court case, and it's much more than just a war on Alex Jones. If you can set the precedent that you can silence and demolish a countervailing voice, you can do that. If they can take on InfoWars, they can take on any blogger, any Substacker, any YouTuber. That's why even if people have a disagreement with Jones on this or that, they must rally to the defense of InfoWars. It's the communist move to silence a minority dissident opinion.
And they've shown that whatever they're going to do to Alex, they'll go on and do it. Whatever they'll do to InfoWars, they'll go on and do it to the next person, whether it's Rudy Giuliani or Clay Clark or Donald Trump. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on down the list. And I think this, you know, the most recent trial and maybe tribulation of InfoWars is going to be just kind of the next test case. It's like, okay, can we just shut you down? Can we basically steal someone's identity in the public forum and say, we own your social media? We're Alex Jones. What are you going to start putting out on Alex Jones? Oh, I love globalism. I love corporate government. Yay, I'm voting Kamala Harris from Alex Jones' Twitter account. It's like, what are you planning on doing?
You know, there was a Roman concept, damnatio memoriae, if I'm saying that correctly. Sometimes a new emperor would come and he would, that's Latin for condemn the memory, to damn the memory. And every single law made by the old emperor would be repealed. Every sculpture or statue of him smashed. Every painting or mosaic of his face would be defaced. Damnatio memoriae. And we don't know if it ever actually worked, because if it worked, we wouldn't know that the person was eliminated. It was the ancient version of the Stalinist retouching of a photograph to eliminate people. They are not just trying to silence Alex Jones going forward. They're trying to condemn the memory of him, to erase the mosaics, to smash it. I fear that someone like Alex Soros, for whom money is nothing, maybe I shouldn't say this fear out loud, but I'm sure he's thought of it, that he comes in, God forbid, and outbids a conservative and takes the asset and pulverizes it and destroys it to try to condemn the memory, to erase InfoWars from the history. I don't agree with everything InfoWars says. No two people agree on it, no husband and wife.
And we're not in a cult.
That's not what it's about. It's about silence. And you know.
I mean, they pretty much have said that that's a plan. I mean, we'll see if they go through with it. But Media Matters published the story that, yeah, they'll consider doing that.
Well, and for them, I mean, look at all the fake money that would prop up left-wing fake clickbait sites. I mean, even Vice itself, was that ever a legitimate investment? Or that left-wing VCs laundering money, taking some losses, but pumping up a pro-Democrat narrative for 5 or 10 years?
Well, that's exactly what it is. They buy the Washington Post. It doesn't make any money. The Los Angeles Times hemorrhages money.
Yeah.
They George Soros just bought 200 radio stations. I bet you, most were probably running in the red for years. Yeah. So it's not even about money. Like you said, it's about power. It's about mass communication. It's about getting the propaganda out there. And so then it's like people look around, same reason why they want to probably get rid of X. People look around, they see the same messaging everywhere. They just assume, oh, this is real. This must be reality.
You know, I'm sure you're familiar with the Ash conformity test. Solomon Ash, professor in the 60s, is related to the Milgram experiment. You know, the one where
the line is,
convince people to give a shock to someone in the other room or hollers, it's actually an actor. But if someone's wearing a white lab coat and a clipboard saying you must give them a shock, it was startling how many people would deliver that pain because someone looking authoritative said so. There was sort of a sister experiment to that called the Ash, A-S-T-H, conformity test. And what it was, a bunch of people in a row, they were showed two cards. On this one, there was one line. On this one, there were three lines. And it was a child's test. Which of these three lines is the same length as this one? Like a child could answer it. And they would all have to give their answers out loud. Line two, 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 three, 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 three.
Isn't that just insane?
But then here's the interesting part. Five out of the six people in the test were actually in on it. There was only one naive person. And so on cue, the people who were in on it would all give the wrong answer together. They would say, which one is the same length? And they would all say, one, 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 one. And it would get to the naive person. What would he say? Would he speak the truth and say, no, it's two?
Was it by like the third or fourth one he always went along with the lie?
This is it right here. You can see it on the screen. And I don't know if you got time to play this sound up, but it's such an incredible thing.
No, it really is.
Peer pressure. Like, you see the lines there? And so they would all say it out loud, and soon the one naive person would go along with it, and they said for one or two reasons. Either number one, well, maybe they're right and I'm wrong, maybe I just couldn't see it right. But much of the time it was, well, I know they're wrong, I know I'm right, but I don't want to make a fuss. I don't want to be the odd man out. I don't want to stink up the joint. I'm going to go along with the mob even though I know it's wrong. The Ash conformity test, these are American people or British people conforming for the sake of conformity. Here's the lesson, though, and this is the Rebel News lesson, and it's the InfoWars lesson. There was a variation on the Ash conformity test. If there was one other person who spoke the truth, just one other person, then the compliance of the naive person fell to 5%. What I'm saying is, if you know you're not alone, if you know there's just one other person calling out truth and lies, then the peer pressure compliance fades away because you know you're not alone. You know you're not crazy. During the lockdowns, during the COVID crisis and the civil liberties bonfire, it was terrible in Canada, not quite as bad in America. We had no Ron DeSantis during the lockdowns. Everyone was in on it. Every media, every College of Physicians and Surgeons. There was no one being the contrarian except for Rebel News, except for the InfoWars of the world. That's our role, to allow people to think for themselves by letting them know they're not alone.
Well, we're up against a break. I want to continue this conversation because, and maybe some stories from you, but I can tell stories forever about exactly what you just said. People tune into this. They say, wow, I thought I was alone until I heard this, and now they tune in every day. So it's such a great point.
I've been on air for 30 plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials. All an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda, 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. WEF says officially, the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be put in to pay the families. They're $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if Patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. Because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. Thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
All right, so we're talking about the power of propaganda. And, I mean, to me, the conformity test experiment is the most powerful way to show. And we were kind of getting into how they've done this throughout time, really, of how they've convinced the masses and kind of used our own instincts against us, if you will, where you can clearly see that line B is 2 times longer than line A and C, but the others in the control experiment said that A was the longest, and so therefore it must be A. So now by the third round, I'm going to say it's A. And it's just, oh, we're going to go along with the pack. And the other thing we were getting into, and we can go back into how, you know, one person stands up and then it's more likely the second person was going to stand up. But it's like dealing, let's say, with the mass psychosis during COVID with the masks and the vaccines, they get somebody in a lab coat. They get somebody dressed up like a doctor. You know, maybe they even have their stethoscope right there, whatever it is. And it's just, oh, well, this person knows. This person is a doctor. And so they've been using it, whether it's the guy on TV in the suit and tie and the perfect hair and the perfect makeup, or it's the king with his big giant crown and the queen and her scepter and everything. It's all this illusion of, oh, this is what a person in position of authority looks like. So then I have to go along with it.
Part of that is the result of centuries of a high trust society. We've come to trust doctors, not by accident, but because they actually over the years have helped us and have cured us, and we're generally doing the right thing. But who has co-opted that? Well, on the one hand, I mean, Pfizer itself would pay doctors a fee, or health HMOs would pay a fee for how many people got the jab. The government did the same thing. So what happened is people tried to hijack that trust that was built up over years or decades. And there's a reason why there was a COVID lockdown. The climate lockdowns haven't really worked because we don't trust. I mean, weathermen were actually quite well trusted, but the activists who want to
lock. They just blew this recent hurricane coverage.
Yeah. I think people, when they had their trust in authority shattered, when police started being more political, when doctors started being more political, we're losing the trust. People are becoming omni-skeptics. And, you know, you have to be. But I sort of lament the passing of an era where we could have our guard down because it was sort of an idealistic time. And another thing is we're bringing in an enormous number of people who come from low-trust societies. And I see this in Canada, the wildness in the crime, the taking advantage of social assistance.
They're fishing, the illegal fishing now, stopping the salmon and everything from getting upstream.
You know, it took maybe a millennia to build a high trust society. Imagine a society where a young woman can walk for freely down the street. And if she cries out, help, help, people will come to help. Whereas in low trust societies, if a woman yells, help, help, other predators come to be part of the wolf pack. And it took us so long as a society to build up that trust. And we are frittering it away, partly through mass immigration of people who have come from a very low trust society and see us as suckers.
Oh, well, we are suckers for bringing them in here, paying for everything. And I mean, so in a way, they're kind of right. We are suckers. It's unfortunate. It's not what we want, but that's where we're at. Ezra Levant in studio here, rebelnews.com. We were covering his incredible footage out of Brazil. I want to get to something you just said, because this is so key. And you know, Elon Musk has kind of done this. Alex Jones has kind of done this. You have kind of done this. Some of your other reporters have even done this when they're actually out on the scene. And that's the phenomenon of when you know, one man stands up, the other man stands up. It's the famous scene and quote from A Bug's Life. And I was telling a story last week. I was telling you in the break how, you know, normally if I do interviews, I'm in a studio. But I just decided last week, after like a dozen interviews, when the InfoWars news broke, I was like, I want to get out of the studio. So I'm sitting at a pool, and I've got my iPhone and my headphones in. I'm doing this interview. I finish up. I pop the headphones out. I say, well, you know, the people around me obviously heard it. I said, I hope you guys enjoyed my political diatribe. And every single person was like, yeah, that was incredible. Nobody talks like that. Some couple of them were like, gee, you know, I thought I was alone in believing this. I thought I was the only one that felt this way. And so how do we turn that into the Bug's Life phenomenon? Like, how do we defeat the damn grasshoppers?
You know, Mickey Kaus, the L.A. commentator, used a phrase, I think he coined it, the under news. The under news. What's under news? It's news that everyone sort of talks about sort of in their inside voice quietly, only if the people around them are sort of trusted. Things like immigration. These days, what's the under news? Everyone's talking about it. You won't see it in the regime media. You won't see it in the over news, the official news. Transgenderism in sports. Now, it's starting to break through because of outrageous incidents. What are the things that real people care about, but they're afraid to talk about because of the conformity reasons we just talked about, because they don't want to be at odds with officialdom? But if you finally stand up and say, you know what, I think it's nuts to have a physical man in a change room with girls, people will say, finally, yes, I believe the same thing. And by the way, what's another under news? It's sort of like moms. What turns a mom concerned? What turns a young woman
from having being kids?
Having kids, but not just that. Go one step further. You know, they're worried about their kids getting on drugs. They're worried about their kids. You know, all the worries that a mom has for the kid turn that mom conservative. And I think that to give voice for things that people are talking about, that the official regime media will not let you talk about. And that's why Twitter's important. That's why community notes are important. That's why not banning the outliers is important.
Well, that's why Ezra Levant is important. That's why Alex Jones is important. That's why Elon Musk is important, because it's one person and then it's like a domino effect. I mean, I probably wouldn't have left sports media and gotten into politics if it wasn't for Alex Jones. I mean, I listened to radio. I listened to conservative talk radio mostly just because I liked the medium. I never thought about breaking into that in this regard until I heard Alex Jones talking on the air the way he talked on the air. Then it was like, oh, maybe there is a space for me to do this. And so I left sports. I joined politics. So that's kind of, I think, why they realize, hey, if Elon Musk has an impact on maybe some of these other billionaires, some of these other people in tech, you know, if Donald Trump has an impact on some of these other billionaires, some of these other successful business moguls, if Ezra Levant, if Alex Jones, if they motivate people younger to start their own thing and have their own voice, like, that's the process they're trying to cut out. Same reason why the grasshoppers say, we have to kill this ant. He's going to destroy us if there's anyone else like him. And so, you know, to me, that's what the censorship. And then you get back to X, and I'm sure you've seen this too, and I got a crazy story on the transgender thing I'm sure you'll get a laugh at. I mean, it's actually not funny. You got people getting hurt. But I'm sure you've seen this. There's some, let's say, infamous twins on X. They love promoting leftist propaganda. Yeah. Who knows what else they're into, but they're really into that. And I've noticed that now that X is actually a free speech platform, that they complain and they say, oh, all my poll results lean right and all my replies are disagreeing with me. I mean, you go look at a Kamala Harris post, you go look at any big leftist post, everybody disagrees with them. And they're complaining like, oh, what is going on? That's the real world. See, I always say this because it's true. Liberals are lost in a world that doesn't exist. And when the world as it exists is presented to them, they just black it out. They just say, nope, I don't want this. Get it out of my face. And now that X has actually had this public forum where there is a free exchange of ideas, stuff that they don't agree with, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to look at this. I don't like people disagreeing with me. I don't want these in my replies. I don't want these poll results not going the way I want. That's not the real world. They're getting a hit of the real world, and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. You know, I think back to when Elon Musk started shaking things up at Twitter. And a lot of people said, oh, he's destroyed the company. What a vanity purchase. He's wrecking it. Well, it's the most popular news app out there. I don't know how it's doing financially, but in terms of the product itself, he fired 80% of the staff. The product's never been better.
Yeah, it's not like the Washington Post that's a vanity purchase and loses money and nobody reads it.
And what I'm excited about is there's one piece of the puzzle that's missing. I mentioned before these political investments by left-wing venture cap companies that are just money laundering to prop up politics. The right doesn't have that, even a fraction of that compared to the left. And how do you pay the bills in right of center or freedom oriented or dissident media? How do you do that? It's something we wrestle with all the time. But I see a twinkle of a prospect in what Elon Musk talks about for his future of the app. And I think it also is why he likes Doge, that cryptocurrency that's worth just a few pennies, is because imagine where hundreds of millions of users can, I'll give a couple of cents to this guy, or I'll buy this article for one penny. If you can get the transaction, let's say you load up your Doge account on your Twitter account with $100 worth of crypto, and then ordinary content creators who could never get a YouTube ad because it would be blocked, if you can say, hey, if you like this, give me a penny or something. Well, how am I going to make any money? Well, if a million people come with a penny, that's 10 grand for you. Congrats. I guess what I'm saying is it's not just the free speech. It's that if he creates a free speech where everyone wants to be there and then allows...
It's like a breakaway economy.
Oh, yeah. And he's talked about this. He hasn't really moved that way fully yet. He started to pay a little bit to content creators. But I just have a hope that we can break away from the Mark Zuckerbergs and the YouTubes. YouTube demonetized Rebel News when we published Donald Trump on January 6th. That's when YouTube demonetized us because we played a clip of him. And we were on track to make $1 million a year, which was enough to pay our whole payroll at the time. YouTube cut it down to zero.
Yeah.
And they expected us to go out of business.
And when you're an independent media...
That was our dough. That was the majority of our dough. We'd had to totally rebuild around crowdfunding. And that's a terrible form of censorship. I think Elon Musk could solve that problem and there could be 100 new InfoWars and Rebel Newses, or more likely just 10,000 really interesting people who get paid for their really interesting ideas and who are smarter at commentary than the fools we see on regime media.
Well, and it is a competitive market because the mainstream media is not going to Springfield, Ohio, where the breaking news about the illegal immigrants crashing cars and, you know, maybe eating geese or whatever is coming out. The mainstream media is not going. So independent journalists go out there. Hey, let me see if I can get a couple million views on my videos. Maybe I make $1,000 on my X account. So it creates a competitive media market, too, where the mainstream media just it doesn't even show up. They're not even on the field anymore. But, you know, what you talk about, it's, you know, it's kind of behind the scenes stuff. Don't air your dirty laundry stuff. But it's true. And this is why some other independent creators out there, and I won't name them. It's not an insult. It's just what they have to deal with. They'll be on their show and they'll say before you go on, hey, we don't talk about these things. I'm on YouTube. That's how I pay my bills. Yeah. We also have Google Ads. If we get pulled from Google Ads, if we get pulled from YouTube, I'm done. I got it. So again, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. That's the nature of where it's at when you're relying on these big tech platforms.
You know, we were demonetized by YouTube in January of 2017. And then they took away our, they were called super chats or whatever. So we get zero. We got almost 2 million followers. We get zero money. I still love talking to those folks, but it's not a business thing. It's just propagating the message. We're crowdfunded now. But here's the blessing in disguise. We lost whatever ads we had from the boycotts. We were demonetized by YouTube. We don't take any government money, unlike 99% of Canadian media. So we learned a way to survive in 2017, 2018, et cetera. Little did I know at the time, we were preparing for something that we didn't know was coming. I'm talking about the pandemic crisis of 2020. And had we still been reliant on YouTube, well, then YouTube could say, you stop criticizing or questioning the narrative. Like, I don't know if you ever looked at YouTube's community guidelines for talking about COVID. If you talked about the origin of the virus, if you contradicted health officer
advice. If you told the truth, in other words?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about going really far out there. If you just contradicted Fauci, you were at risk. So it was sort of like we were a hostage, but they shot us already. So they had nothing more to do to us. So we were immune to government sanctions. We were immune to corporate sanctions because they had already pulled those triggers on us. So that's, it was that very freedom that allowed us to speak candidly when very few other Canadian media did.
Well, and it kind of made you train yourself on how to survive in the age of censorship, too. It's like if there is a silver lining or a blessing in disguise, it's like the first people that got hit with the censorship wave were kind of prepared to survive when it really came down.
You know, I was thinking more about the day where Alex Jones was canceled on the same day by 14 different platforms, if I recall, including
August 2018.
There you go. And you know
what? And it was an umbrella. It was like anybody who works out of this building, they hit you too.
Wow, I didn't know that part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just do a little thought experiment here. Shoe on the other foot. Let's say under an administration where, I guess you're saying that was under Trump. But if it was pushed by the Republican Party, and if some Democrat outlet was banned, obviously with collusion in an anti-competitive way, don't tell me there wouldn't be an investigation in an anti-competitive, like, don't tell me 14 companies made the same decision on the same day together on their own. I don't believe it. And don't tell me that they didn't do so without being coerced in some way by some authorities, whether it's Gavin Newsom or someone I don't know. I know this. It would have been investigated as some sort of anti-competitive act. It would have been investigated as some violation of the First Amendment. Not only did that government protection for freedom of speech and protection from corporate collusion not happen, but where was the ACLU? Where were the media organizations? And that was a test drive. Okay, we can get away with it with Alex Jones because he's spicy and he's a conspiracy guy and he's fringe.
We've already done the character assassination.
Yeah, and so, okay, who can we go up against next? And who can we do next? And that was a great failure by a lot of civil liberties organizations and by true journalists. You don't have to be a right winger to support the freedom of speech for a right winger. And that was
those even right wingers were celebrating it.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't
right.
I don't want to go too into the weeds on this deal, but I mean, I watched that whole thing play out. It was really about a 2-year operation, and I watched that whole thing play out from the front row. I mean, I'm even in the arena. I'm watching him hacking up Alex Jones. And so I watched that whole thing lay out. And once they kind of got away with it with Alex, and then I started seeing him doing the same tactics to Trump and some of his biggest supporters, Mike Lindell, you name it, I was like, they're coming for you now. And so, but now Mike Lindell has Lindell TV, and so everybody has had to build their own thing. And then thanks to X, we're kind of back in the competitive market. I want to jump to something that you talked about with this transgender deal, because I got a story here. And I know it's probably worse in Canada, I think, because you guys have highlighted some stories in Canada where even some of your reporters have gone out and confronted some of these men that are playing with women, or I guess some of them are in high school. Boise State women's volleyball forfeits match over transgender opponent. Boise State they forfeited their match this weekend against San Jose State University because the San Jose State women's volleyball team has a man that plays for their team. And I'm just going to, this is maybe one of the easier tests you've ever taken in your life, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. San Jose State has played 9 games this year, according to their website. They've played 9 games this year. What do you think their record is?
And so this is the one with the guys on it?
Yes, this has a man on the team.
I'm going to guess they've won them all.
You're going to go 9-0.
You know, I don't. I'm trying to measure by your face if I'm guessing wrong.
Yeah. You're right. Okay. No, you're right. No, they are undefeated. They are undefeated. Go figure. The women's team with a man on it is undefeated.
You know, and you say that's volleyball. Okay, so volleyball, you could hurt someone, I guess. But imagine rugby.
There have been issues. Issues with. I believe it's happened twice where a man spiked a ball onto a woman's head and cracked her skull.
I believe it. But in Canada, there are men on rugby teams, which is by nature a contact sport. And you're right, we've sent reporters out into the field many times. And the terrifying thing is that the women are so brainwashed, they sort of lock arms around the trans guy.
So it's beyond the conformity.
They're
phenomenon.
Terrified of A, being called transphobic, of B, breaking away from all the authority figures are saying, we're going to have a guy and we're going to call him a her. He's got male pattern baldness. He still has his twig and berries. He's a man.
You have 5 o'clock shadow.
And they're all in this delusion together. You use the phrase mass formation psychosis. There's something going on there, something cult-like. And they're so terrified. They just keep chanting their slogans. How can girls, the answer is they're terrified. And if they speak out in Canada, especially, they get sanctioned. Not only do they have their dreams as athletes ended, but if they speak out, they're banned from the league or from the sport. Canada's really bad on that stuff.
Well, and imagine too, here in America, it was a huge story in the early 2000s, mostly because of baseballer Lance Armstrong, about steroids. So, oh my gosh, you know, this person used steroids, that person used steroids, Lance Armstrong was doping. And it was all about an unfair advantage.
Yeah,
it was all about what an unfair advantage, how unfair it was. You cheated the integrity of the game. Yeah. You cheated the integrity of the sports. You cheated the integrity of the whole history books and the records. But a man competing against women doesn't count in that?
Yeah, and you have to understand what's going on here. You know, there was in Canada, there was a 50-something male to female trans swimmer who would compete on a team with teenage girls. And then he would go and change in the girls' locker room. Now, there was also an all-gender family locker room, which had individual stalls. He chose to go into the girls' change room, even though there was an all-gender. Why would he do that? There's another case in Canada where a fella, male to female transgender, says, I want to help in the women's shelter for battered women. And they say, okay, no problem. You can be with the guys on the fundraising committee. You can't get into the actual shelter. That will cause terror amongst the women in there. He said, no, I insist on being in with the women. Why would these guys do that? Because they want absolute final proof that you are willing to go along with the delusion that they are women. And the only way they can do that is for you to say, yes, you can be in the women's change room with the girls. Yes, you can be in the battered women's shelter with the battered women. They need to go where they are forbidden to fulfill their psychological quirk. They must compete against women. They would not, if there was a transgender, if there was male sports, female sports, and trans sports, no one would go into the trans category because they're not looking for that. They're looking to colonize what it means to be a woman.
I wonder why you wouldn't just do that.
Because it's not, because they have to get you to it. The reason why they're so insistent on the pronouns, it's ma'am, you know, all those videos.
But I'm saying, like, nobody even suggests what you just said as a concept. Like, hey, let's just have a league for trans.
No one would, not one person would go to it. Because they're not looking to be trans, they're looking to be a woman. And that's why they always say, well, I mean, that's why Matt Walsh's movie was such a hit. What is a woman? You've got to say it or you failed the woke test. You must say it and you must believe it.
It's so frustrating, too, because you're just, these people are not intellectually honest is the problem. They're just completely intellectually dishonest because on one hand, they'll tell you if you're a man, you can't talk about abortion issues because you're a man. You're not allowed to. Only women. That's a woman's thing. But well, wait a second. Over here, you're saying that there's not even a distinction between a man and a woman. So what do you mean I can't? So it's just there's no logical consistency. And I mean, even you could even go into the conversation of like first wave, second wave feminism, which created women's sports. They didn't even used to have women's sports.
Yeah. The era of women's sports lasted about a century. It was only about 75 years
well,
ago.
Well, that's why I'm like, part of me is like, okay, maybe I just go into this and I just say, yeah, you know what? Male dominance. Like we're coming into your sports spaces and we're going to kick your ass literally.
South Park, it sounds like you're quoting the South Park strong woman.
I'm
episode.
A strong woman. I'm going to say. And then the feminist woman is like, wait a second. Oh. Yeah.
You know, it really is too bad. I don't know if you ever saw that photo of the first woman to run the Boston Marathon before women were allowed. Do you ever see that photo? And she was running and sort of officials tried to grab her. I bet your team could Google it pretty quick. The first woman to run.
They're up against the clock.
And they ran and grabbed her and tried to physically pull her out. So women's sports is a new thing. I think it's a great thing. And for safety and for sexual safety, you can't have guys physically attacking women or changing with them. Men have colonized women's spaces and this is part of the high trust society. We're allowing men into women's spaces. We're forcing it on them. This is the largest under news story, I think, in America right now.
They found it.
Yeah, that's her.
You know,
they tried to pull her out.
Women's sports got it. Oh, my gosh. They even see women sometimes are their own worst enemy. So now what you're going to have in the WNBA is eventually men will take over the WNBA. But it's like they always complain they want more money. They always complain nobody goes and sees their sports. Now they finally have an athlete that's drawing crowds and putting money in their pocket, and they all hate her.
Yeah.
They all hate Caitlin Clark. They all try to kill her on the court.
Yeah.
So it's ironic. All right, we'll do one more segment. Final closing words from Ezra Levant.
Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off, even though it's our number one bestseller. All the vitamins, all the minerals, all of the amino acids, everything you need that's essential. And let me tell you what essential means. You need air, you die in 4 minutes without it. You need water, you die in 5 days without it. You need food, you die on average in a month without it. Because what's in the food? The vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids. This has everything that's essential. All the vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Tastes great. Concentrate. Put a little scoop in a pitcher of water. Take it to work with you. Drink it morning, noon, and night. Give it to your kids, your neighbors. Really important for old folks because their guts don't absorb as much. Vitamin Mineral Fusion sells all day at full price. It is 40% off as part of the sale going right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And then discounts right now on full Spectrum CBD gummies, super strong, lowers inflammation, so good for your whole body and so good for mental relaxed clarity. It's not a sedative, but it's like you're awake, but you're relaxed. The gummies are incredible. I like to take them before I go to bed at night. And then on top of that, we have the 1,000 milligram CBD under the InfoWars MD label that is private label, again, by the same top folks, ladies and gentlemen. They sell it for $45 more on average than we do, and their competitors for even more. 1,000 milligram real full-spectrum CBD is sold in elite shops and at doctor's offices for $150 all day long. It's a good deal if you get it for $60-$70, and that's what we're selling it for. In fact, it's an insanely good deal. You can't really find anybody else selling high quality at that price. So, full spectrum CBD at InfoWarsStore.com in the gummies and the liquid tincture and so many other great products at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll free 888-253-3139. Get your vitamin mineral fusion. Check out the InfoWars MD line and more at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you all for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.